I think it's important, too, when we're speaking of service, to realize that those who serve will always have a target on their back. Remember that. The Lord leads you into a work, and you're doing something for the Lord. For those that are doing nothing for the Lord, it's of very little value for Satan to attack them. What's the value of attacking somebody that's doing nothing? We always have said there's very little activity in a graveyard. There's deadness there, okay? It's where there's life and vitality that the one that is involved in a service for the Lord becomes the object. And I think we need to look beyond the people of Israel and see that Satan attacks. He attacks through whomsoever he will. He doesn't care. He's ruthless. The reasoning that is given here, it's horrible. You are old. What a sad thing. You are old. And we'll see a little bit tomorrow of the vitality and the spiritual energy that was still in the life of Samuel as he slew the wicked king at the end of the next chapter or so. So we want to realize if we're going to be those who say, yes, Lord, I want you to use me, we're also prepared for the fact that the enemy is going to be attacking. And here, Samuel was ready for that. He is the subject for us this week. It's not Israel. Samuel was prepared for such an attack. You say, well, I'd like to see it. Well, let's look at verse 5. Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make, circle that little word, make us a king to judge us. Like what? Like all the nations? Is that what we want? Well, it says the thing displeased Samuel, and he lined these people up, and he began one by one to give them a piece of his mind and to tell them wherein they had failed. Young people, what a beautiful example. The thing displeased Samuel when they said, give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord. Where did he learn that? Oh, I think again from Hannah and from his years of experience with this people of Israel, he learned that prayer is the answer for my difficulties. Prayer is the resource. Prayer brings God into the circumstances that we're in. That's where power, strength. What did Samuel need now? He needed some direction. He needed some guidance. Lord, I'm not sure exactly what to do. He also needed someone to commune with, didn't he?
I'd like to, before we get too far, I'd like to bring in another thought with regards to the desire of the people, make us a king to judge us like all the nations. The first application we've said, and I believe it's fairly obvious, but to make us a king like the nations, let's remember who is saying this. Okay, who are they? They're God's chosen people. Whose people? God's people. Who do they want to be like? The world. That's one application. And I want to take it also and make another application. We live in a day, we're all part of that great house, the great house of Christendom. And dear young people, you know, we were upstairs in the dorm last night in one of the devotional groups. And the young men were speaking about the exercise of being at the assembly meetings and making all the meetings and what it would take and what it takes in order to be there. Some have a long distance to be there. Some have a long or a busy schedule, and it's hard to make the meetings. Well, you know what has happened? In the great house, we've made a system where man has taken authority, where there doesn't need to be the spiritual exercise to, use the expression, go to church. I show up Sunday morning, somebody stands up at the front, gives a word, and I go home and I've I've satisfied my conscience. I've gone to church this week. How much spiritual exercise does it take to do that? On the other hand, how much spiritual exercise does it take to come a prepared vessel, to come where two or three are gathered together, not where 200 or 300 potentially, or 2,000 or 3,000, but maybe just a small group of believers, but of any size. And there to come as a prepared vessel, to bring my handful and to bring something that the Lord is rightful of receiving. The sacrifice of praise. To come there to be in the Lord's presence, to receive what he has in store for. And how much spiritual exercise does that take? It's a lot different than just showing up to church. And so this is also the application that we see here in the lack of spiritual exercise. And to be encouraged, young people, to be encouraged and to go on. And you know, when we look, the older brethren in the meeting, and the families, and the example that is set when I'm there Sunday morning, when I'm there at the ministry meeting, when I'm there at the prayer meeting, and the encouragement and the help is, look at the little children that are in the meeting. Well, so-and-so never comes. Why do I have to go? No, but you're there. And what? And you know, in that quiet way, even, is an encouragement and an help. But it takes exercise. And it takes us to have the Lord, to have that first place in our lives on a personal basis. And I want to encourage you in that way.
Two questions. First of all, it says here that Samuel was a priest, judge, and prophet. Why does it only say his sons were only judges? And also, what's the spiritual significance of Beersheba?
What is the spiritual significance of what? Beersheba. Well, let me answer the first part. Someone else can, or I'll try. Samuel was a vessel. He was a prepared vessel. His sons were not that in the same way. They were not ones that, in fact, we remember what we've had the last couple of days. Give me a man child, that God had answered the prayer of Samuel. And we said the second day, perhaps, or the first, that he would change the course, should have said properly, of the children of Israel. There had been no open vision. God had not spoken. In many, many years, Samuel was the beginning of this small period of revival. All the days of his life, he judged Israel. So I think that's the answer, that his sons didn't automatically fall into that place. Beersheba. Tony?
Yeah, I'm looking for the reference in Genesis 21. Chapter 21. Genesis 21, verse 14, Abraham rose up early in the morning and took bread and the skin of water and gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder, and gave her the child and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. There's a couple of other references to Beersheba. And if I remember correctly, it's in relation with Abraham as well as Jacob. I think Beersheba is a place where was near the oaks of Mamre. It was a place that God communed with Abraham and gave him direction. You see in the life of both Abraham and Jacob in particular that they often return to this place, Beersheba. And from memory, because I don't have time to find all the texts, that I think it was a place where they went to be in communion with God. I think in this reference with Hagar, you see that she wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. But it was given, I believe, to Abraham. And if you check, I know Jacob, often as he moved around the land of Canaan, that he came to Beersheba and was a place where he met God. And there were promises that were made also at this location.